Good morning, everyone. Great to see you guys again up here from this perspective. I want to go back a bit in my life and share a couple things. Back in 2012 and 2013, I had a couple really difficult years. I had, in the period of time leading up to that, I'd kind of been charting my own path in life and doing what I wanted to do, not paying any attention to the Lord really up until about that time. And over the course of those 2 years, I lost pretty much everything that I found my identity in at that time. It all fell apart for me. And what was really hard about it was I'd just gotten my life reconnected to the Lord in a really solid way in 2012, and it seemed like everything got worse after I did that. I remember being in 2013, one day I was at work. So I'm in my cubicle. I'm surrounded by hundreds of people, but I'm in a cubicle. I'm at my desk, and I felt like I had 1,000,000 pounds on me. I was weighed down. My thoughts were just all over crazy. I was afraid. I was anxious. I was panicked. I couldn't work. I just sat there with this incredible burden on me over everything that had happened to me. And I thought, Lord, where are you right now? I can't find you. And then all of a sudden, a thought came into my mind. Worship. Now, outside of singing in church, I was never a guy that listened to a lot of Christian music. I'm more of a rock and roll kind of guy. I play guitar, I play Beatles, I play classic rock. You know, that's what I like. But at that moment, I thought, I need to listen to some worship. And so I was able to, I knew the names of some Christian worship bands. I downloaded some music into my phone. I put on my headphones there at my cubicle, and I started to listen to the songs. And after a little bit, I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit come on my life. And I had peace for the first time in 2 years. And I was able to think clearly. And I realized that all these things that had happened to me, I wasn't a victim, that it was a lot of it was because of my bad decisions. And I was able to ask God for forgiveness for those things. And he lifted it. Tears were coming down my face. I guess I was hoping nobody was going to pop into my cubicle right then as I'm worshiping. But the Lord did that for me at that moment. One of the songs that was playing, I'd never heard it before. Wasn't in much fellowship at that time. I'd never heard it before, but it was a song called Oceans. And I listened to this song, and I was like, Lord, this song was for me. This is exactly where I'm at right now. It's like this image, you know, of Peter being called out on the water, but I was picturing me and these waters, these rough waters there where feet may fail and fear surrounds. And I thought, that's my life right now. And I'm going to trust you with this, Lord. Lead me to the place you want me. There are a lot of worship songs like that one. They're prayers, basically prayers, people's prayers set to music for the people of God, written for people who need the Lord's help, need his peace at a difficult moment in their life. And many people across the last couple thousand years have found the Lord present in the middle of difficulties because of songs like that. Getting a little here. God's faithful. Like this song said, the lyrics in the song, we can rest in his embrace. That's what the song tells us. Did you know that there's a whole section of the Bible filled with songs? Were you aware of that? There's a whole book. There's actually a collection, 5 books, and they were thousands of years ago assembled into one book called the Psalms. It's old music, but you know, it doesn't matter because God's people and the concerns of their hearts have never changed over all the years. And our God is exactly the same God, equally faithful, always present, always welcoming us into his embrace. So they speak to us strongly. So we're right now in a series on understanding the Bible, on how God speaks to us through different kinds of literature in the Bible. We're on a 10, there's 10 different genres of literature in the Bible, and today we're talking about Psalms, which are songs. We've been talking about quite a bit of different kinds of literature, and we're going to continue with the series. And then we have a class after church where we're unpacking that literature and understanding how to read, understand, and apply that section of the Bible to our lives. The Psalms were written over a span of about 800 years, from the time of Moses until the time the people of Israel came back to their land out of exile. So about 800 or a little over 800 years. And then after that time, someone collected all these songs from Moses to whoever was writing them at the very end, collected them all together and put them together in what we call today the Book of Psalms. Today, I'm going to focus on one psalm written by David, King David. David wrote almost a third of all the psalms. I'm going to focus on one today. Last week in our Sunday school class, last week we were doing Old Testament narrative, and we covered in the class on Old Testament narrative, I walked us through the episode with David and Bathsheba and trying to figure out what we can learn from that section of scripture. What happened with that? What happened to David in 2 Samuel 11 and 12? It changed him for the rest of his life. And we can read about it in the Psalms because he wrote a lot of these Psalms after that time frame and what that meant to him. And one of those Psalms is Psalm 32, some of what he learned from his failure. I want to read you the first two verses in this Psalm. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. First thing I want to point out from this passage, this word blessed, okay, that you see here, blessed, this word is the Hebrew word for being happy. That's what the word actually means, and that's our first outline point. Happiness is being free of your sins. That's what David found. I like it that the NIV uses the word blessed, though, and not the word happy, because in our culture, sometimes happy can mean something else. There's a lot of things in our culture that people think about when they think about being happy. Sometimes being happy in our culture is just being able to do anything you want. We think that's what makes me happy. I get to do anything I want. And in fact, sometimes we think being happy means doing something we're not supposed to do. We think that that's going to make us happy in our culture. For some people, happiness is just like something to distract me at a certain point. Maybe I'm feeling down, I get a little entertainment, I get a little pleasure, and I think I'm happy now, right, in our culture. Disneyland is the happiest place on earth. Until you check the prices they charge you for food, right? This is the thing with that kind of happiness. It's temporary. Goes away really fast, if that's your definition of happiness. It just flies by. It doesn't last. It wears off, and then all your problems are still there. Yeah, they just keep coming back. Your anxiety, and maybe if you're in pursuit of that kind of happiness, you might even make more mistakes trying to feel better that make things worse in your life. A lot of people end up in bad relationships because they're unhappy, and they think rushing into a relationship is the thing that they need. And we make things worse. And that kind of happiness, if you pursue it that way, if that's your pursuit in life, can actually lead to bondage in your life. But that's not what David's talking about when he says blessed in this psalm. He's talking about the kind of happiness that you have when you wake up in the morning and you have no guilt and no shame and no burdens because God has taken them from you. That's the happiness he's talking about. That's blessed, that experience. Cultural happiness, it's gone in a blink. But the happiness that we have because of we're right with God, we've turned away from our mistakes, that kind of happiness lasts in our lives. That's what David's talking about. So we're going to call that kind of happiness blessed, just like we have here in the beginning of this psalm, because that's what God's got for you. Whatever you've done in your life, he's got that kind of happiness for you. A couple of weeks ago, my daughter Leilani hit the fender of a professor's car as she's pulling into the parking lot at her college. She clipped the corner of the professor's car and did some damage to the professor's car. And she texts me to let me know, okay, because I'm paying for the car, right? While she's at college, I cover her insurance. She sends me a text, no doubt nervous, telling me how sorry she is. Well, right away, you know, I know what she needs. Because it's what I need. She needs grace. So I tell her, hey, baby, don't worry. I said, I'll take care of all of this with the insurance company. You just focus on your school. Don't worry. Yeah, these things happen. It's okay with your dad. That's a gift to a child who is doing the right things in their life. Knowing that if they make a mistake, it's erased. That's the gift God has for us in Christ. He does it for us, whatever our mistakes, however great a wreck we've made of our lives. He does that for us if we come to him like David did. So in these first two verses in the psalm, this is what David's talking about. He uses three different Hebrew words for explaining the burden that God takes from us when we come to him with our failure. It's the same burden God took from him after what happened with Bathsheba. So if we could put these verses back up again. The picture he paints of these. So remember, this is poetry. So when we're reading the Psalms, get too technically focused. But understand, he's painting a picture here. And the picture he's painting are of all the different ways that we can mess up in our lives. That's the words he's using. So here's the first one. He says, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven. So that word transgressions is a Hebrew word that means a deliberate rebellion. So this is like that decision that you make and you're telling God, you don't actually tell him this, you just think this way, but it's like you're telling God, God, I know what you want, I don't want it. And in fact, if you want that, I'm going to do the opposite of that, okay? Because that's what's going to make me happy. That's what that word means, deliberate. Then he goes on and he says, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. That second word that's translated sins, that word means that you've wandered from the right path. Because sometimes in life, it's not like we're deliberately trying to break God's rules, but we just kind of are doing our own thing. And maybe we don't even think about him too much. And we're just kind of going in the direction that we pick. Maybe we're even hoping he's following us back there somewhere, right? Okay, God, I'm doing this now. I'm doing that. That's what that second word means. And then in the verse 2, we read another word that's translated sins. He says, blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them. Okay, that word sin, it's a different word than the other one that was translated sin. It's a word that is normally translated in older translations. If you look at the King James, it's the word iniquity. And I'm not sure why they decided not to put iniquity in there, because they use it in verse 5. They translate it that way in verse 5 anyway. But maybe it's because we just don't use the word iniquity a whole lot, right, anymore. Like, if I hurt my wife's feelings, I don't say, you know, sorry for my iniquity. Otherwise, she might go, wait, what did you do? What is that? We don't say that anymore. So maybe that's why they did that. But this word is an even stronger word for sin. It's a word that means distortion. It's like we take something wonderful and beautiful that God wants to give us, and we twist it. And we go the direction on it we shouldn't go. We go beyond the limits. Or we take it in a way which is just not what God wants for us. And it's exactly what's happening with sexuality in our culture. You know, this amazing thing God made, and we just twist it far away from what he's intended to bless our lives. And what a mess we're in today as a result of that. But here's the good news David's telling us. This is what he's writing about. God has forgiven. God has covered. those mistakes. God has not counted them against us if we bring it to him and don't hide it. If we bring it to him. This is where he finishes verse 2. In whose spirit is no deceit. See, that's how we get the forgiveness, the blessing that David's talking about. No deceit. That's when we stop hiding our failures. Stop putting them aside. Stop lying about them. When we stop justifying them. When we stop pretending that the things we're doing are okay. We lie to God, we lie to other people, and we lie to ourselves and don't deal with sin. David was hiding. In 2 Samuel 11, all the horrible things he does, he took a man's wife, he makes her pregnant, he tries to hide that, he can't hide it. So he causes the man to get put in the front of line of battle so that he is killed, and then David tries to make it look like it was an accident of war. He's not just lying to people. He thinks he's lying to people. He's lying to the God who had made him the king of Israel. So God exposes him in front of everyone in 2 Samuel 12. We don't know what David's heart is like when Nathan exposes his sin. Though he does acknowledge in that passage, we saw it in the class last week, he acknowledges, I have sinned against you, God, he says in that passage. The hurt we do to others is a barrier between us and God, ultimately. But David does share his heart in the Psalms. He does. We do see what his heart was in Psalm 51 and then later on in Psalms like Psalm 32. He's sharing it with you in a song, so that you will stop hiding too. That's why he's doing it. And so that you will receive the blessings of God's forgiveness, just like he did. That's why he wrote it into this song. So maybe you know that feeling of having something hidden and walking around with it in your life. Something you need to get rid of. We've had so many scandals, haven't we, over the last 10 years, public scandals, huge figures, people who did horrible things to other people, and then all of a sudden it all started coming out. And these people were completely exposed. And you sit and you think, man, it's hard to believe that someone could do something like that, like what these people did. And these people lost everything when it came out. But the bigger question in my mind is not that they did it, but that they kept quiet about it for so long and put on a good face and kept acting like what they were doing was okay. These are big failures. David's failure was a big failure. But we all bury our sin in our lives. We all do this. Even small things, sometimes they keep us from becoming the people that God wants for us in our lives. We get through that sometimes, that feeling, that guilt, by not thinking about it. And our culture shields us and says, hey, don't feel guilty. Just make yourself happy. Just smoke a little weed. And take some pills, or just get a little bit drunk, and it'll be okay. You'll feel better. But it comes back. And that's our culture today. And we can't be the blessed people that David is talking about if we don't get right with the Lord, unless we bring it to him. Instead, what we do is, if we hold on to it, we deal with the consequences of our sin. That's what David talks about here in our second outline point. When we hold on to sin, God puts his hand on us for our own good. And this is what he writes. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. So he's telling us here, this is what was going on after between 2 Samuel 11 and 2 Samuel 12. This is what was happening in his heart. That's what he means, when I kept silent. He means when he was pretending he didn't do anything wrong. And he was lying to everyone, and he hid his sin. And he tried to make it seem like it was an accident. He felt like his bones were wasting away. Okay, great image there. This is poetry, right? So his bones weren't wasting away, but by telling us that, we get it. His sin was eating him up. He wasn't able to pray. He says he was groaning all day long, holding on to this evil thing that he had done. And if you can't talk to God, people, if you can't clear things with him, all you can do is stay in your head, you know, with crazy thoughts, anxious, fearful, horrible, guilty thoughts. His bones here made him feel like that. He was so hurting. His point, though, is clear. When you don't bring your mistakes to God, you hurt your soul. His soul was hurting. In our culture, we have a lot of problems right now because people are told, go out, do anything you want to do, because that's how you have a good life. You get to do anything you want to do. You make yourself happy. But then when they do that, when we do it, it starts to eat us up. And there's no solution. Maybe the solution is, and it is for some people, some kind of substance addiction. That happens. And a lot of young people in particular have no hope anymore about having the life that they were expecting to have. Some of us older people, we remember a different time with different values. And we can put our, even 30 years ago, we can make our heads go back to that time. Remember the TV shows and the movies that they used to have, and they were about family, and they were about love and values. And we don't have any of those anymore in our culture. They don't match our cultural perspective any longer. And people spiral down. It's a dead end, this temporary happiness. It's emptiness. That's all that's out there nowadays. David knows exactly how that feels. We have suicide stats going through the roof. Young people killing themselves. Why do they do it? They don't know any other way to make their pain go away. But David does. That's what he's writing about. So it's kind of an unhappy song at this moment, right? But it's okay. The people of Israel sang this song because we all feel this way sometimes. Some of the Psalms are like that. Singing the song reminds them of what God saved them from so that they can be thankful that he has a solution to our pain. But you still need to remember that always. That's why we sing about it. The life that we had before, we remember that so that we remember how thankful we are and what God's done for us. David says, your hand was heavy on me, talking about the Lord. Your hand was heavy on me. See, God created us in his image. We're not built to hold on to this stuff, to hurt people and then keep it inside. We're not built for that. He created us to be holy like he is. So he doesn't let us prosper in our souls if we hold on to it. And he'll come down on us and he may even expose us, but it's for our own good if he does it. Allowing us to face consequences is sometimes what helps us to get back to the place that we're supposed to be. 2012 and 2013, if you ask me, I've had some bad years. Those are the worst, okay, in my life. It seemed like a disaster at the time, but God gave me a new song after that moment. I'm here, up here, talking to you about this because of what happened on that day, okay, and what God did for me. And now I'm living in his blessing in my life because I believe what he's spoken to me through David's words here. If you're struggling today, if you're carrying something around and you're burdened today and you can't find God right now, I've got good news for you. He wants to take that from you today. He has blessings for you. Okay, outline point three. Our burden is lifted when we confess and become real before God. Okay, that's all we have to do. We just have to confess and be real. As followers of Christ, if we make things right, he will take it from us. You just say that. Lord, I lived my own life. I was calling the shots for myself. That was my path. That wasn't your path. Bad things happen. That was me that did that, Lord. And I was responsible for it. But I'm here now, Lord, right in front of you. And I'm asking for your forgiveness. And that's the forgiveness David received. See, David received, he didn't know how God was going to cover all his sins. He just knew that God did do it. God covered his sins through his descendant, who was also a king. The King of Kings. And he's covered your sins too, if you trust him. That's the provision. The same for David as for us. Now, if I'm talking in the men's ministry, and I should say our men's breakfast is Saturday, this coming Saturday, 8:30, Building B, men of the church, please come and hang out with us. We're having a breakfast and we're studying 1 Peter. But if I'm speaking in that men's ministry, you know, I'm speaking to the men. So I'm trying to focus, you know, application on the men when I'm there, right? And so I probably, if I'm talking about this subject, I probably tell the men, you know, it's harder for us as men to own our mistakes than it is for the women. I would say that. Like, all the good people of the church, you know, they're at the ladies' tea. And all the sinners are at the Monday night football hangout, right? That's probably what I would say, just to, you know, kind of push them a little bit. But the truth is, we all have difficulty owning our mistakes in life. And maybe it's because we think we're going to lose something if we say I'm a failure. Maybe we our self-esteem, we think we can't take that, saying something like that. Or maybe we think we're going to look like we're not in control of our own lives if we make it clear that we've done a really bad job navigating the path of our life. And we need the Lord's help. Maybe there's that sense. But what David is saying is you get something by confessing to God. You get something from it. Here in verse 5. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. See, there's the word right there. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. See, that's what you get. The weight is lifted from you when you give it to him. Notice all three of those same words for sin appear again. The ones from verse 1 and 2 appear again in verse 5. The same three words. Every way you can mess up in your life, God fixes all of it for you if you come to him and ask for his forgiveness. David was the king of Israel, the most powerful man at that time in civilization, and he came clean with all that meant. It meant that he had made a mess of his life. It meant that he had wronged God. But it also meant he was free of the burden and the guilt he was carrying. Maybe you're carrying something right now, and maybe that's weighing you down. David has a message for you. Be real before the Lord and confess. Give it to him, and he'll take it from you. David's telling you that through his song. The Spirit of God, through David, is telling you that. If God could forgive me for what I did, he's saying to you, as King of Israel, if God could forgive me for what I did with Bathsheba, and if I can humble myself as the King of Israel and own my failures, you can too. That's what he's telling us. And so then there's a transition, so the song gets happier starting in verse 6. This is what he writes. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. So you can see he changes. He says, therefore, let all the faithful. He's all of a sudden reaching out to the entire people of Israel as they worship. And he's inviting all of them, and he's inviting all of us, the people of God today, to join him in trusting the Lord and being right with the Lord. And God is reaching out through this to you this morning through the Song of David, also inviting you to get right. He says, let the faithful pray while you may be found. Does it seem like you've been having trouble finding God in the midst of something you're dealing with? Does it seem like, God, where did you go right now? What David's telling you is that God can be found by people who are right with him, whatever we're going through in life. People who are real, people who confess their mistakes and get right with him, the hurt they've caused others, the damage they've done in their own lives, those people can find God in the midst of any situation if they're right with him. And that's our last outline point. Point four, those who are right with God will find him when they need him most. I went through quite a few years where I didn't feel close to God because I thought, you know, God, you bailed on me. Here I am living my life the way I want. And I'm like, where are you, God? I couldn't find him. I thought he didn't care about me. But there was a wall between us. And I put it there. He was never far away. I put the wall up because I was hiding and protecting my plans and dreams for my life. I thought I'd be happier if I did what I wanted. I didn't think God was going to give me the life I wanted. I needed to control it. And if right now you're wondering where God is in the middle of what you're dealing with, maybe it's just that simple. You need to take away the wall that you've put up. And if you do, you're going to find him because he's not far away, David is saying, from those who trust him. So he says, surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach the faithful. The rising of the mighty waters. You know, he's acknowledging sometimes life is like that. It's hard, even for faithful people. The things that happen that threaten us, that's part of our journey. When it happens to you, when that moment comes and the waters are kind of crashing in on you, don't you want God to be found in the middle of that? See, that's why you do what he led up to this in the psalm with. That's why you make things right with him and own your mistakes. You confess them and let him take them from you. That's how you draw close to him in the middle of these situations, because he wants to be there with you to lift you above the rising waters where feet may fail and fear surrounds, right? So when you confess and give up your sin, you don't lose anything, you gain. So here's the last verse we're going to look at. This is where you end up. Verse 7. You're my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Yeah, he's praising God that he has reached this spot of incredible blessing after the kind of mistakes that he made. That's the place God wants to bring you to. He is the shelter. He's the hiding place. He's the protection from the storms of life, from the disasters of life. And where the worst things, they can't reach you. We spend so much time trying to insulate our own lives. All the while, God wants to be that for us. But we have to be right with him. And that's why David is inviting all of us to pray to God while he may be found, by being real. So many people caught in scandal, so many high-profile people, public lives exposed, celebrities who seem to have it all. Then you see them in court cases on TV and you think, wow, what a mess. They don't have what David is talking about, a place where they are protected, a place where they are loved. They don't have that. David is inviting them, the mighty, the famous, and he's inviting the not so mighty to that same spot, but who long to be set free from the past, whatever you've done, he wants to free you from it. Pray to the Lord, get right with him, and give him those burdens. So if you come over to my office, you might notice if I'm in there working on a talk, I'll have headphones on, I'm listening to something. Or if you ride with me in my car, I've always got the stereo on, I got music playing. Or if you come to my house and I'm there at my desk and I'm, you know, getting ready, prepping for something, you notice I have an electrical speaker that's playing tunes. You know what I'm listening to? I listen to worship music all the time. My kids are like, Dad, do you ever listen to anything else anymore? Not much. Very little. Because I still need his peace every day. And that's what I get. That's what he offers me. If God's speaking to you today, if you're wondering where he is if you're in some circumstances that are difficult today, let go of your failures and give them to Him. Just bring it to Him today. If you don't know Jesus Christ, He's the solution that makes this possible. Yeah, He's your Savior and Lord. The descendant of David, the King of Kings, gave His life so that you could be washed clean. Maybe as we're going into this next song, I just want to challenge all of you to think through your mind, am I holding on to anything that I can give to the Lord right now? And if you don't know Jesus, this is the time to say, invite Him into your life and say, Lord, just take all of my mistakes away. I want a new life. I want the kind of blessed life David was talking about. Let's just have that in the middle of this worship song. Jesus, I thank You for this time of focus. We thank You for Your servant David, Lord, because we know from his life that no matter how bad we mess up, Your grace and love is bigger. And we need it, Jesus, and we need the blessing that You promise. Give it to us, Lord Jesus, as we come before You now and sing, Lord, take away those burdens from our lives in Your name. Amen.